time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday, the 15th of July, 2017. Island Life is Waiheke Radio's weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues. The show's brought to you with the support of the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Oniroa. I'm Chris Walker, and on Saturday the 15th of July, I spoke with Katie Soljak about the Song and Poetry Love Jam, and I talked with Greg Treadwell, who will be joining the Island Life team at Waiheke Radio. I want to share something with you, which I discovered this week, which has, I think, changed my life. LiveMap24.com. Go and check it out. What this thing does is real-time tracking of public transport. So no more getting to the bus stop and going, have I missed the bus or is the bus running late? You just click into this thing, zoom into online, zoom into where you are, and you'll see these little red rectangles moving along, and you can tell whether the bus has just departed and you've got a half hour wait, or whether it's running a couple of minutes late and it's just around the corner. And you can kind of, you can cover off the whole world with it. But great for Waiheke, seeing where the buses are. We're just sitting here at the moment and watching to see that there's a bus halfway down Ocean View Road to Matiatia, and another bus just going over, just a bit to go over the causeway. So it's all happening, and you can check the ferries on that as well and see where they're at. It's livemap24.com. Blew my mind. Along with the rain radar, what I'd like to see now is an overlay. Take the rain radar from Met Service, overlay that with LiveMap 24, and then you'll know whether, you know, whether you're going to make it to the bus before the rain hits. So I'm sure it's possible if you have the know-how, which I don't. What I'm going to play for you now is Optimus Grime, Charlie Brown. You'll know, many of you will know of him. He's been creating electronic music on the island and around the world for a number of years, and is really acclaimed in that electronic music space. And he's decided to call it a day, and he'll be having his final ever show on Waiheke on the 27th of October. And when we get closer to that date, we'll have Charlie in, and we'll kind of, you know, have a chat about the whole journey he's been through with music and where it's taken him, because he's also really tried to act as a mentor towards other young people as well. So we will be doing that. But I thought, since he's just announced his retirement, we'll take a listen to the online video he posted talking about that, and then a track from Optimus Grime. So here we go.
Hey, this is Optimus Grime. I just wanted to put this video together, basically to cut to the chase, after 12 amazing, inspiring years of being Optimus Grime. I've decided to hang up the OG banner and do one final Optimus Grime tour before signing off. A couple years ago, after the birth of my second child, we had a bit of a family crisis, and I had to basically choose between either touring and being a full-time musician, or being at home to support my wife and my two kids, who really needed me at the time. So I chose the latter, and even though I don't regret the choice that I made, it was tough. It was tough. It was a really tough transition to make, from basically partying and hotel rooms and traveling and being the guy that rocks the party, to being at home, changing nappies, wiping bums, getting screamed at every day. Yeah, it was tough. It was tough. But I'm really proud of the choice that I made. And I know that in years to come, I'm going to look back on that decision and be glad that I made it. So, fast forward a couple of years and here we are. Since I can't give Optimus Grime the time it needs to grow and flourish, I've decided to hang up the banner, but before doing so, I want to do one final Optimus Grime tour for all the people who have supported me over the years. So I've put a bunch of shows up on my website. I haven't locked in any dates yet, but they'll happen in August, September, October. I'll put the tickets on sale for the next 2 weeks. And if I sell enough tickets in your town, then I'll run a gig there and I'll build the tour around those dates. So if you buy a ticket and I don't end up selling enough tickets in your town and I don't do a gig there, then I'll give you a refund. Or if you buy a ticket and I do a show in your town, but you can't make the date, then I'll refund your money as well. So this is basically just a show of hands to see who's keen to see me play before I book the dates. So yeah, if you've ever rocked the dance floor with me, share this video, spread the word. If you've ever come to an Optimus Grind gig with a friend, then tag them in the comments below. I'd love to see all you familiar faces on the dance floor for one final, my actual last ever Optimus Grime shows. So yeah, visit the website optimusgrime.co.nz, tag your friends in the comments below, and I look forward to seeing you all on the dance floor for... We'll be right back.
Wakey Radio. Radio.
Okay, that was Optimus Grime, Immortal, the Truth remix. So he is, as you heard, is heading out on his final tour, calling quits to Optimus Grime. You can get tickets at Optimus Grime, that's G-R-Y-M-E, well, you probably know that if you're a fan, .co.nz. And as I say, we've booked him in for October to come in and talk through the whole journey of music that Charlie has taken over the last decade or so. So, in a moment or two, we're going to be talking to Katie Soldrak about the Song and Poetry Love Jam. So, just as a bit of a taster to get us into that, I'm just going to play this for you. This is one of my favourites from Katie's back catalogue, Old Wooden Radio.
Spice along, I think about you.
Lovely. I've always been a fan of that song. That's Katie Soljak, and Katie's here. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you were saying that song started life as a poem, Katie.
Yes. It was actually Father's Day, and I was living in America, and you get kind of nostalgic and homesick when you're in another country, and it was Father's Day. And I did try to call my dad up that day. So then after that phone call, I wrote a poem, or I just wrote my feelings out, and then I just made it into a song later. Hmm.
So you're here to talk with us about the song and poetry Love Jam.
Yes,
so it's apt to have
right.
something that bridges the gap between poem and song. So what is the song and poetry Love Jam?
Well, the song and poetry Love Jam, it's going to be a very cool event at the library on the 26th of August. And it's you know, songs and poetry. We're going to have a competition which is open to all ages on the island poets. And then there'll be performances at the library from 6:30 on. Yeah, and it's part of the National Poetry Day, which is actually the day before, that goes all through New Zealand. So
what's the love part?
Well, we want to just feel the love amongst people on the island. And, you know, there's enough about war, enough about hate. We don't say that all the poetry has to be about love, but just it's going to be a warm feeling. There's going to be food there and some wine and refreshments as well.
Yeah, you've got quite a salubrious person doing the food.
Yes, we do. Julie Busso is going to be making beautiful platters. So this year we are actually charging.
So you've done this before, haven't you?
Well, yeah. Last year we did one at the Sandbar. It was part of the National Poetry Day, yes. But we didn't. Well, we just left it up to the Sandbar, But the poetry, it does sound really quite nice in the library, and yeah, people listen. And
yeah, it's really taking off as a performance space, isn't it? There's been a lot going on there recently.
Yeah,
it's nice to see, you know, that new big public building being utilised and people running stuff there.
It's true, and that's what they wanted, didn't they? They wanted lots of space inside and outside for performance. When that was part of the design. Yes.
So what will be the format on the for this event?
Right. Well, we'll be bringing people in. There'll be something to eat and drink before the performance starts, and then we'll just run it, not unlike we do the song of poetry night, a mixture of song and poems and original, everything's original, and then the winners from the competition will perform their poems.
And so kind of an open mic kind of format.
Yes, we are actually inviting some poets in, but there will be a part of it that'll be open mic. Yes,
yeah.
That's right.
Mm. Yeah, and how do the, you're talking about winners, how does that all get decided?
Right, well, we have judges. We are saying there's categories 5 to 12 age and 13 to 18, and then all others in the adult section. And it's going to be judged by Luc Debonnet from Frenchman's Hills Estate, who's actually a bit of a poet himself, and then the Rose Davis from The Marketplace, who's a journalist. Those are the two judges. So basically there's a box in the library now that you can put your poems in, or if you want to send them in by email, then it's my email, which is katsun@extra.co.nz, which is KATSUN. At extra.
There's, I suppose, different schools of thought about poetry, about whether it works best as a written or spoken form, isn't there? You know, I mean, something that works on the page might not necessarily, you know, depending on how it's presented, and on the other hand, something can be presented which on the page doesn't appear to be much.
That's very true. And some poets don't actually perform their work as well as they write their work, and then some poets are just amazing performers.
Yeah, so you've got a poem to share with
us,
haven't
you? Well, I do. Now, this was the winning one from last year by Kathy Voiles. So she's in Wellington at the moment, but I'll let her know that I'm reading it, not taking credit for it myself. But it's very Waiheke. Would you like me to read it?
I would love you to read it.
All right, then. So it's Old Countdown Car Park, 2 p.m. Wednesday. Beards rippling down in the car park, sultry 2 p.m., shoulders are crunching, blokes, boys spoiling, calf tattoos tense like the Capulets and Montagues, hormones bleating, love-filled splat you, me think, attack formation, local kids, faraway kids spoiling over a bride, a breast, a girl, no, More a Toyota dinged. Saber fists, closed down faces. We shoppers look away. Bad fellas, don't get involved. Car park prey. Violence stayed.
So. And that was the winner from last year?
That was the winner from
Brilliant.
Last year.
Brilliant. So who's that from again?
Kathy Voiles.
Great.
She's one of the organisers this year. So
yeah.
She's not entering. The organisers can't enter.
Right.
But
so,
we are all three sort of performers and poets and whatnot.
Yeah. And what's the kind of balance of songs and poems that you're looking for?
Well,
I suppose it's going to be kind of solo acoustic.
Mostly. Yeah. Well, last year we had Soccer Practice, who are a really good little band over in Auckland. We invited them over as special guests, and once they started pumping up the sounds, it was quite loud in the library, but they were great. Geneva is the main singer for them. So that's not acoustic at all, but predominantly it's guitars. But it's a more... I think more of a 60-40, sort of more poetry than song usually, but we try to balance it out.
Do you ever, throughout the past events of these and with the song and poetry thing that you run at Sandbar, and that's what it's called, isn't it? I'm not just saying it because I've got it in a name.
It's actually called that, that's right.
Do you ever get those moments, you know, like from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy with the Vogon poetry where the intestines have to come up and strangle the brain to stop you hearing it?
Oh, gosh, I haven't noticed that yet. Sometimes you do think you might want to have a big hook like they had on the Gong Show to pull someone off. But that hasn't even that. But you can always say, thank you very much, that was wonderful, and you know, before it goes on too long. But as a whole... What I do like is that people listen because it takes a lot of guts and bravery to get up there and you know, talk about something personal or that's really coming from the heart at times, and you can hear people sort of yabbering away in the background, and there's a bit of a school teacher side to me that has quietly gone up and told people to stop talking or could they go outside, they are actually talking about personal things. And I noticed Luke, when he did Luke Debonet, I hope I'm saying his name right, at the Frenchman Hill, he does poetry on a Sunday afternoon sometimes up there, and he gets up on an overturned wine barrel and he said, when the poets are up here, it's quiet, you listen, you know, and there were two rules. One, you had to drink wine when you read the poetry, which we all love that idea, and the other one was that everyone had to listen and give respect to the person that's, you know, reading.
And I suppose the library is a very conducive space to that.
Yes.
But, yeah.
I know.
More so than a bar, perhaps. Yeah.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
More than a bar. But now we're going to be serving them wine, so.
Yeah.
Maybe, but yeah. It's just about being respectful, I think.
Yeah. Mm. So people should be scratching out their poems now and getting those into the box in the library.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, and also you've got your performances going on the day. So,
yes.
Yeah, brilliant.
That is right.
And so if someone's interested in performing, do they kind of need to let you know beforehand?
Yes, they can. They can now. It was Kathy's. If they want tickets also, it's kathyvoiles@gmail.com. Shall I spell that?
Yeah.
Kathy, K-A-T-H. It's actually got a capital K. kathyvoiles@gmail.com. If you want tickets or if you're interested in performing.
Great. Mm. Oh, well, thank you so much, Katie, for coming
in. You're most welcome.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
I thought it might be a good time to introduce someone to you who you're going to be hearing more of. Greg Tribwell here. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Hold on. Let's say that again.
Good morning, Chris. That's better.
Yeah, that's better. You're on mic now. So Greg is joining the Island Life crew, which is fantastic.
Oh, look, it's a huge privilege. I'm really excited about it. A little bit nervous of the desk, so listeners might have to put up with a little bit of fumbling on day one, which will be next Saturday.
Next Saturday, yeah. So the way we roll this thing is there's kind of four of us who take turn about. Saturday mornings, organising the interviews and running stuff through with you. So at the moment we've got myself, Chris Walker, Brent Simpson, John Armistead, and now Greg. And
All men.
Yeah, the gender balance could do with some addressing there. That's true.
Yeah,
but you know that's the way it is at the moment.
Well, it's volunteer. It's people who are interested, and it's people who I guess have some experience in the media to some degree.
Yeah, well, some more than others. Actually, I remember John, when I was introducing John to the show, and, you know, much the same as you've been doing over a few weeks, you know, coming in and sitting in and seeing how the show gets put together and how you operate it all and all the rest of it. And I was sitting here with John and doing much the same thing. And kind of about halfway through, I said, oh, you know, have you ever done anything like this before? And he goes, oh, yeah, I presented The Wire on BFM for 3 years. You should be showing me how to do this, John.
Yeah, John came through our school where I teach, actually, and it was very similar. He was already up at B, and didn't really need to learn too much from us. He just needed his qualification. And
yeah, and I feel much the same working with you on this. But, you know, me kind of going, here's how you do a current affairs show, talking to a senior lecturer in journalism.
Yeah, radio's not my background, although I am always in the studio at work for some reason, one reason or another. But, yeah, radio's not my background, so I've got plenty to learn. But, yeah, I was a journalist here on the island for some years working at Gulf News, and then in about 2005 I started teaching at AUT, and I've now progressed through to be a senior lecturer. Just finishing my PhD at the moment, lived on Waiheke since 1996, had a couple of years in...
That's about there. I was here in 97, so you...
And a couple of years in Auckland where we went to rent a house in Ponsonby just for a change, but then came straight back to the island, you know, and have been back here for a few years now.
Yeah, so what are you exploring through your PhD?
Freedom of Information, which is effectively the Official Information Act in New Zealand, so it's around transparency of government. My particular angle is how the failures of the Official Information Act are affecting journalists, because that's what I study, what I teach, and what I practice. So it's not so much a look at the law as the way it affects the practice of investigative and public interest journalists.
Well, and it's kind of widely misunderstood, isn't it? And it seems to be that the abuse of that law is growing.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. It's become more than anecdotal. I mean, it's gone from empirical to anecdotal, and now it's just very widely accepted. One of the things that makes it absolutely clear that the New Zealand Official Information Act isn't working very well is just the number of complaints, and how the person you complain to when you can't get information off the government you think that you should be able to get is the Ombudsman. And the office of the Ombudsman is so heavily flooded with complaints, it's basically ground to a halt. I've been waiting 3 years for a complaint to be heard. It's just not to be dealt with. There's evidence everywhere that the Official Information Act is failing, right through to the admission by John Key a couple of years ago when he was Prime Minister that his government just pushes the limits on the release of information as far as they can for political reasons. So it's not operating as it was intended.
No, and I think even the fact that it's kind of come to this point where people need to say, I'm asking for this information under the Official Information Act, whereas, I mean, the whole idea of it is just meant to be, you don't need to do
we own it.
The information's meant to be there.
Yep.
And that should be the kind of final recourse. When someone says, no, you can't have information, you can say this. But it's kind of come to this point where we're not going to give you anything unless you say you want it under that act. And
that's right.
Become ludicrous.
So you can approach a government department for some very basic information, and if the person you're asking is a little busy, they'll say, make it an OIA, because that gives them 20 working days, yeah, and then another month, because they can very easily get a month's extension. Whereas, in fact, if I was to ring the council and ask what time the gates at the Onatangi Sports Park close, not that they ever do, but as an example, that is, in effect, an Official Information Act. There's no distinction between benign, unimportant information and terribly sensitive information.
No, and it's, I think, you know, and it's interesting because council, I think, is, you know, the area where probably, for a lot of people on Waiheke, a lot of the really kind of interesting stuff lies.
Absolutely.
And you know, I remember when the library and courtyard, you know, asking what was the final cost.
Yeah.
And yeah, they were very, very reluctant to give that information, but it's information we have a right to access.
It's not only our information, it's information about our rates. So I think we had, there's one of the very, very experienced journalists I've interviewed for my PhD talks about the growing gulf between the citizenry and the state in New Zealand. And I think that this is an example of it, that the state is increasingly, and whether that's central government, local government, the DHB or whatever, is just increasingly finding itself happy to treat information as if it owns it, and it doesn't. We own it. The Act is very, very clear about that.
Oh, well, that's going to be interesting to see what comes up there, and it's going to be interesting to see whether there are changes in that area, but it's kind of public awareness and frustration with that withholding of information kind of grows. And maybe that's something we could touch on at the candidates' debate.
What an excellent idea.
Yeah,
so I think transparency of local government is a big issue on Waiheke. It always has been. I think we tend to have very good politicians around transparency on Waiheke, but it isn't so much, I don't think, our local board. It's more the interaction between our representatives and the super city.
Mm. So last year we held a candidates debate for local board candidates, which was highly successful. We had a full house down at Artworks and broadcast it live and got a lot of positive feedback on that. So this year with the general election coming up, we've decided to do the same. And we've got our candidates meeting scheduled for the 6th of September.
That's very exciting.
And it's going to be really good. So we've got Nikki Kaye from National, Denise Roche from Greens, and Helen White from Labour, all confirmed.
Those are the three key ones, I suppose, but more possibly?
Yeah, so we'll fill that out as other parties announce their candidates. I mean, we'll kind of, we probably won't have all comers in there. We'll keep it to the ones who, you know, have a serious chance of being represented in Parliament. And what we're asking them to talk to are really their viewpoints on how their election or their party's election will impact on Waiheke issues.
Mm.
So that's why we're kind of looking at the ones that have a serious chance of being represented in Parliament, because they'll be the ones who can actually do something about these Waiheke issues.
Mm. Waiheke's always in an interesting place, isn't it, being part of Central Auckland. You have your candidate vote and your party vote, and that, for Waiheke electors, I think, is a particular challenge. And we're part of Central Auckland, but I don't know how often the politicians in town, other than Denise perhaps, are that conscious about our issues. I really have wondered always, and I think it's great to get them out here on the island talking about Auckland Central and Waiheke's place in Auckland Central, because we're different to everything else in Auckland Central.
That's right, and I think, you know, the changing demographics, well, I mean, there's always been changing demographics in the vote, but interesting, you know, I think Waiheke for the last, well, since MMP has kind of been a kind of a was a very heavily green voting, but that's kind of started to split. You know, we're kind of going green blue now, with Labour in third place. So, it's going to be an interesting debate, and we encourage people to start thinking about the questions they want to ask and put that in your diaries. So, early voting opens on the 11th of September, so we'll have that debate in time that people can be well informed on and hopefully help them make the decisions of what they're going to take.
Fantastic role for Waiheke Radio. Brilliant.
Yeah, so that's 6th of September. So keep the date. So we've got our fundraiser on the 19th of August, and then a couple of weeks later, 6th of September, we've got the candidates' debate, the Great Waiheke Radio Auckland Central Candidates' Debate.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirawa.